Good morning, Mr. Spielman.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Have you ever had a colonoscopy?
You look clean today.
I do?
Yes.
Yeah, you think I've lost a half pound? Have you ever had one?
I've had three.
Have you?
So that's one thing. I know it's there was some history in our family, so I make sure, and that's very important to make sure from a preventative standpoint
yeah.
at the point when you get a certain age that you go out and do that.
Now, as in public service announcement like fashion, as I shared in the open of my show, because I'm 52, I didn't completely get the situation. Had somebody on the radio a few weeks ago, a guy named Eddie Olchek, works for NBC, NBC Sports Network, Blackhawks, friend of mine, and he had a bad situation with colon cancer, and he came on the radio show, and we're going to talk about the Derby and the Stanley Cup playoffs, and for like 90 seconds, he was just imploring people, if you're not thinking about it or avoid it, just do it. I made an appointment with Sheldon that day. So, you know, like 3 weeks later, boom, got it done yesterday. But the people spooked me a little bit on the prep day, like the day before. What did you think of that whole situation? Well, forget that. You don't have to describe the situation. The situation speaks for itself.
Is this going to make the best of Mondays, this conversation?
Liner! But going to bed hungry is not an easy thing, is it? Do you become moody? Because I did.
Well, you go to bed hungry, but you're also up most of the night cleansing your
right.
insides.
Yeah.
And
you might be the only person via text with whom I did not start an argument.
Oh. The one story I did have, the first time I did have a colonoscopy, I didn't realize how that would hit or when it would hit. And I had a speech to give that night.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No. So I actually it bubbled up about a half hour before the speech and gutted out the speech as best I could and cut the speech down to about 10 minutes and moved on in life.
Wow. That's rare poor, with all due respect. Rare poor planning by the uber-organized general manager.
But mental toughness test, yes, I did pass that.
Right. Rick Spielman, general manager of the Minnesota Vikings from Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center. Day 3, week 1, organized team activities. What for those who don't follow it closely, what exactly are organized team activities?
This is the first week that we're actually allowed to have competitive periods with certain restrictions in those periods. The DBs and the receivers can't press where the DBs can get up on top of the receiver, so they're playing off. But we've been here for 5 weeks now, first 2 weeks just working with our strength and conditioning staff.
So when you say they can't press, that's by rules?
That's by the OTA rules.
Got it.
Yeah, so and then for 3 weeks we've been going against air. And so this is the first week where you actually get into competitive periods, offense against defense and special teams. So it's exciting with all the new faces. I know the players get excited because the first time they get to go out and compete since last year. And we'll continue to do this through June till we end with our mandatory minicamp.
What do you think of that new kickoff rule?
Well, it's going to be – I personally think it's going to make it a more exciting play. I think with the restriction.
Because the kick team guys don't get the run-up?
They don't get the run-up, and then you have to have eight guys in that zone, that 15-yard zone, which is going to make it more like a punt. So I think it's going to actually create more kickoff opportunities. And I also think that the kickoff is going to be you have to have a strong-legged kickoff guy as well, to maybe prevent by being able to kick the ball out of the end zone. But I think you'll see a lot more – kickoffs, which is an exciting play. To me, it's one of the most exciting plays in football, but it's going to be, I believe, a lot safer.
So is there, from a strategic standpoint, I mean, you're booting it out of the end zone, having them start via touchback, we have that. What about plopping the thing up between, like, I don't know, the 7 and the goal line, trying to time that thing up?
Well, that's all things that are all going to be new. And it'll be interesting because there's a lot of smart special teams coaches in this league, a lot of smart coaches. So it'll be interesting with this new rule, and it's technically changed that play, what the strategic planning is going to be and how this is going to be approached.
How do you think those on the kick team, given they have to line up and start from standing, they start from standing, how do you think that will impact onside kicks?
That's yet to be determined, too. There's so much unknown, which is going to make it even more exciting, especially even in the preseason, just to get to see how this rule is implemented in the preseason and what impact it has, whether it's an onside kick or the returns or anything. I know the one thing that is probably eliminated is you're going to have athletes out there on the field, just like you do on punt. And the old kickoff rules, okay, usually in that third, that wedge line back there by the returner, you always had the big guys in there, some of the offense and defensive linemen.
Really?
Now it'll be interesting to see what personnel is out there. Does that have an impact on who makes your 53, doesn't make your 53,
mm-hmm.
based on how this rule has changed?
Speaking of kickers, your rookie from Auburn, what do you think so far?
Been very impressive. It's been a very good battle between him and Kai.
Uh-huh.
I know that'll continue to go on, but both of them have been extremely impressive. And I think having competition just like at every position, that's going to elevate that position as well.
When you had Marshall Kane here last preseason, did you notice anything different from Kai in the preseason? Like one of the most impressive Kai Forbath kicks, in my opinion, I've ever seen, was in the preseason last year. You're at Seattle. It's 51 yards into the wind. And it was like he was really embracing this competition, and he went out and won it. Are you noticing anything different from him with a drafted kicker here?
No, Kai's a professional, and he's been in the league just like a lot of our players. He loves to compete. You know, he's a very good kicker. Has won some games for us last year. I remember, you know, the kick I remember the most was the field goal up in Green Bay in the cold when he hit that one. But it's, you know, Kai's a professional, and everybody knows this is a business, and everybody has to compete every year for their jobs, and it's no different. And Kai is taking it just like he would any other year.
Now that you're outside on the TCO Performance Center fields, and you're able to mostly have practice, what are you noticing from Kirk Cousins?
He's been very impressive these first 2 days and the offenses that going in. I think you notice how the ball comes out of his hands, the accuracy. I know yesterday he made a nice shot down the field to Diggs. But just the command of the offense. And as he learns this new offense and working with Coach Stefanski and DeFilippo, honing in and mastering this offense, but he has a presence about him out there on the field, and I don't think he's gotten enough credit for his leadership.
Right.
And he has definitely shown that since he's been in the building.
Bradford, when Bradford was completely squared away, he threw guys open, didn't he?
Yeah, Bradford was very accurate.
Yeah. And Case and Teddy, I mean, they had a lot of strengths to them. I mean, with all due respect, throwing somebody open wasn't exactly the way they did it, in my opinion, like Cousins. He throws receivers open, right?
Yeah, no, he's an anticipatory thrower where the ball's out of his hands before the receiver's out of the break, and then that's the relationship and the timing that he's building right now with our receivers. So he knows where their breaking point is, when they're getting out of the routes, and when the ball gets there on time. And that's the thing, I think, that makes good quarterbacks great.
Thielen and Diggs, one of the top receiving duos in the NFL. So what, and then you add Kyle Rudolph into this. Once you get the rookie back, you put him into this. Conklin got the running backs and everything. Is this the time of year where, when it comes to anticipatory skills, throwing players open and gaining cohesion, this happens right now, right? I mean, they go over plays you will be using in the regular season, and this is where Cousins can really, really settle in on things he likes, right?
I think they're throwing the whole playbook at him right now. And as they go through, this is a time to hone in on what he feels comfortable with, what the coaches feel comfortable with, and that'll continue. But this is a time you probably put everything in, and then once you get into the regular season, because you're going to do the same thing through training camp, you'll experiment through the preseason games and then hone in on actually game planning and what he likes and what the offensive coaches like and Zim likes and not, and then those will get implemented into the game plan.
What's the plan off the ACL with Dalvin Cook right now? Like how hard do you go on him?
Well, we almost have to pull the reins back on him.
Really?
Just on how he's attacked this, and he's chomping at the bit to get out there. So we're trying to hold the reins back on him a little bit. I think he'll eventually, as we keep going through these OTAs and mini camp, start itching his way in there a little bit just to give him a couple reps here or there. But that'll all be based off what the doctors and Eric Sugarman determine. But I know he's chomping at the bit and ready to go.
You legitimately have competition for third running back, don't you?
Yeah, no, we're very excited about when we picked up Mac Brown last year off waivers from Washington, and then the two young undrafted rookies that we signed. Both have been very impressive so far.
Boone and McGrary?
Yeah.
Right. And then you got C.J. Ham.
And C.J. Ham.
Yeah.
So,
C.J. good on special teams?
Yeah, he's a very good player on special teams. And that what added value to him last year when we moved him to fullback, and he became a very good fullback. But you've seen some of the times when he caught the ball and what he can do in space from the fullback position and made some big plays for us in the passing game. But he's an excellent in pass protection. And that position, because of the limited amount of reps they may get on offense, they have to be a core special team player. And CJ was that for us last year.
Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, 9 to noon. Another segment with Rick after this. 9 to noon radio, Paul Allen, Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, TCO Performance Studio, Vikings organized team activities. Without Anthony Barr, your thoughts?
Yeah, LeBron James looked very tired last night watching the
You think he was tired or old? I mean, I saw that poll. I know you're a big Twitter guy. Tired or did he, like, show his age a little last night?
No, I don't think he showed his age. I just think that he put so much on him, and he's, to me, one of the greatest of all times that's ever played the game. And, what he does for that team and that organization. But he did look a little exhausted. It's like doing two segments on your
right,
show. It can be mentally exhausting.
But the best thing is you get to hear them back Memorial Day with the oxymoron, the best of 9 to noon. Me being Bulldog reporter guy, I am going to ask you that question again. But you know what? You tripped onto something that I want to try to compare the NFL to the NBA, and it probably won't work. For whatever the reason, with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I know you're a sports snob, you watch a lot of it, Cavaliers role players at home, lights out. Defense is better, shooting's better, awareness is better. They go on the road, and it's almost like they've never played the game. Have you noticed in the NFL with home and away, I mean, superstars and super good Pro Bowl-type players, they're probably going to be the most steady, but like role players on the road, do they freak out sometimes a little bit?
I don't know if you can make that comparison. And with those guys, you know, playing a seven-game series, it's amazing to watch. And even watching Golden State and Houston and, you know, how their star players on Houston stepped up at the end and made some tremendous plays. But I don't know what the psychology is, you know, in the NBA and how difficult it is to play every other day and play in the same team.
Right.
You know, back-to-back in a seven-game series. In the NFL, it's you're usually moving on and playing the next team, and to me, it's always going to come down to who executes the best that day.
So, do you look at it as a problem with Anthony not being here?
I think LeBron will recover.
Come on, I mean, just a little sliver.
No, Anthony is. You know, we've been in contact and spoken with his agent. I know he came up and talked to Coach Zimmer.
Good.
This is a volunteer time of year,
and
you know, we'll continue to. You know, work through, but I'll keep all that information and things that we discuss internal.
How do you feel about your overall linebacker situation? Oh, by the way, Kendricks and his agent, pretty smart, and the team, pretty smart to get in early when they did.
Yeah, no, we've got some good young guys, you know, just watching them through the OTAs and where we're at so far, but we'll continue to monitor that position as we go. We're always looking, even on guys that get released, or every day we're looking to see if there's ways to improve this roster, and that hasn't changed, you know, since I've been here.
Eric Wilson reconstructed his body a little bit. I mean, it's not like it was bad last year, but when I saw him here, he's just bigger, and the way these players mature because they're so young, physically mature. I mean, when you got Rashad Hill from the Jaguars practice squad. He showed up here, you know, it was a new situation, a little more pudgy than he was in his second season. He came here for the workouts and organized team activities his first full year, which I think was last year, physically looked like a completely different guy. Eric's kind of like that right now a little bit, isn't
he? Yeah, all those guys mature physically as they come here. I think Uwe, our strength coach, does a phenomenal job in the weight room with these guys and getting those guys in condition and changing their bodies. You got to remember, too, a lot of these rookies that are coming in their first year have been on the banquet circuit before the draft, you know, out visiting all these teams, getting ready for the combine.
So those are all comp steak deals, right, like when they're visiting teams?
Yeah. No, you're eating, you know, rubber chicken dinners every night. Although we take him to a real nice place and have very nice food.
That's how you got Sheldon, right?
But, you know, but these guys, once they get settled in and they've been around, as we've said before, one lap around the track, understand what it's about, get time after their rookie season to get away from this and recover and relax a little bit, then they come back in. And not only are they physically maturing, especially these young kids, because they're coming in at some 21, 22 years old, but then they come in and they're refreshed, and it's amazing the jump they usually take in their second year.
How does Kendall Wright play?
He's been very impressive so far. He's got excellent quickness from the slot, very good into and out of his breaks, mm-hmm. very good hands, and he's been very impressive since he's been here so far. Way early in the game as we sit there and continue to evaluate.
And speaking of free agents, I mean, Cousins got that monstrous deal, and it was so rare that somebody like that was available in free agency. In getting to know Sheldon Richardson a little better, and this is not saying Kirk doesn't appreciate being here, because he does, but with Richardson, it just seems like he's bustling with happiness, and, you know, he's just with – you come into the league with the Jets, then you get traded right in front of the season, which is difficult. And then, you know, even though Seattle may have wanted to retain him, you either beat them or other teams to get him. It just seems like everything adds up with him for the potential of a big season.
I think when we bring guys in here in the current culture we have in the locker room right now, and with Coach Zimmer's leadership, and when new guys do come in, it's amazing how you see him and Linville together all the time, and Linville's one of the strongest leaders on his football team. Plus, he's a great football player as well. But to see those two always chumming together, they're working out together, they're out in the field together all the time doing things. So I think when you bring guys into our culture, they adapt to this culture because of the strong leadership we do have in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that benefits them and will benefit us on the field next fall.
Offensively speaking, from Bevel through Musgrave through Turner through Shermer, now DeFilippo, I mean, in your decade plus here, you've seen a lot. What distinguishes John DeFilippo compared to not necessarily the others here, but just what you've seen all throughout your career?
I think he brings a lot of energy. I think all those offensive coordinators brought great value to us. But he brings an energy and a pace, and you can tell the passion he has. Very intelligent. You know, Coach Zimmer implemented a period during OTAs, and we do it throughout the year, as game-like situations where he doesn't tell anyone what the situation is. And so yesterday, for example, it was, you know, I think 2 minutes and 13 seconds left to go. The offense was down by 2 points. The offense had no timeouts. Defense had 3 timeouts. Let's go play the game. Well, it's not pre-planned. So not only are the players getting put in those situations to see how they react, but the coaches have to call the plays and call the defense, call the offense, see how, you know, what's successful, not successful. So, but he's been very impressive, not only on the energy he brings on the field, but how hard he works off the field. And I just, my impression of him and all of our coaches, especially through the draft process, they put as much time and energy into that, because they're a major part of the process as well, that help go into the decision process. And those guys, all those coaches, do an excellent job. And Coach DeFilippo did a phenomenal job evaluating the offensive side of the draft and giving his opinion on all those players. And we need to understand what he's looking for, because it may be something different than our previous offensive coordinators. So all of a sudden, maybe a second tight end or a third tight end may be more important than it was previously.
Right.
How important is a fullback? You know, what are the traits you're looking for in a receiver? So all that, we have to get on the same page and understand the traits the coaches are looking for, so we can go out there and try to find players with those traits.
Is it preferable at certain times of the game when it's a frenzy and you got to go fast? And I just have a gut feeling offensive tempo is going to be very important here. Is it important for the offensive coordinator to let the quarterback handle things at certain times? Or does he like have to put in every play?
No, I think it depends on who your quarterback is. Sometimes if you're dealing with a rookie quarterback, you may have a little more hands-on. I think with Kirk Cousins' situation and all his experience and his intelligence, I think that relationship between him and DeFilippo And that trust factor will come, especially as we go through these OTAs.
Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings, TCO Performance Center. Got a couple of quickies to close. Mackenzie Alexander, important year for him. When I say important, because he was drafted in the second round, and it's his third year. And, you know, whether it's Xavier, Trey Waynes, whomever, Mike's hard on these DBs, specifically these talented ones. And it may not happen lickety-split, but when you get around year three, like Alexander, bam, it needs to go, right?
Yeah, and he's had a great offseason so far. And you've seen progress from his rookie year to his second year. And then usually in the third year is when you see the guys start to really click. And you're starting to see that right now with him out on the field. It was, you know, I thought Trey Waynes' situation last year in his third year, he really played well for us. Xavier Rhodes, when he hit his third year, really played well for us. So especially that corner position, that DB position, and with how they have to play in this scheme and the demands that are put on them, and the technique being taught. And once they get all that down, then they don't have to think. They can just go out there and play with their natural athletic instincts. And you're starting to see that with Mackenzie as well.
So then you get your first pick, Mike Hughes. It, mentally and, like, physically with this organized team activity, is he where Xavier was a few years ago when Mike got here in 2014?
No, he's, you know, he's been very impressive.
Really?
Yeah, very smart.
Just picking it up. Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of competition at that position, and especially with the way Holton Hill's been practicing as well. And we have a couple other young guys out there. And then you got Terrence Newman in the mix. So that's going to be a very heated contest, I think, as we go through the training camp and through the preseason.
What's it like having Terrence around? I mean, he said this is his last season. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He's 40. You know, but he's just –
he probably should go get a colonoscopy. He's getting at that age.
Hopefully
he?
He's had three in very preventive fashion. But, I mean, hopefully the younger players embrace what is there. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, let's hang out for the weekend and share all your secrets. But just even the smallest, most subtle hints that he can give can help anybody.
He's phenomenal. And I've been in this league, I think, almost 29, 30 years. And – he is a true pro's pro, and everybody says that. But the way he approaches the game, the way he keeps his body, but how he teaches all these young guys, and he's like a voice in that locker room, a great leader of this team. But he's a great, almost like a coach out there, relaying the message from the coaches to these young guys. And he's not afraid to pull those guys aside. Hey, listen, this is what they're trying to tell you to do.
Right.
And those guys, he has such respect in that locker room and everything he's accomplished in his career, that those young guys gravitate to him.
What about Trevor Siemian? What's he like?
He's been very impressive, I would say. I don't want to make comparisons, but he's right now, I think, one of the best number twos we've had to date so far.
Yeah.
Another guy that fits in the mold of the intelligence. Fit everything that Coach DeFilippo and Coach Stefanski were looking for at that position. So very excited.
And a two has to embrace that role too, right? I mean, Trevor started games.
Yeah, and he started games. I don't think we have any hesitation, knock on wood, if anything happened, him going in and us continuing to function and play well just because of his experience playing in the National Football League as a starter. But also how he's embraced this role.
And look how important the twos were around the NFL last year. Saved your season, arguably. And Eagles win the Super Bowl with their backup quarterback, you know? So, I mean, it may be a backup, but you definitely have to pay a lot of attention to it.
That's one position we really try to make sure that we have a solid number two always behind our starter. And last year we were fortunate enough, you know, to have three, you know, even as Teddy was getting healthy through the season and when he came off. And all three of those guys got opportunities to be starters in this league.
With Elflein not practicing, tough to settle into what you think your offensive line will look like into 2018?
Yeah, right now it's just like last year at this time. We had a lot of new faces in there. We got some young guys we're going to monitor that we drafted last year, some guys that we signed in free agency this year. So we'll see how that goes. It's hard to get a true sense until we get the pads on in training camp
right.
What the best combination is. But I think we have a lot of options up there.
Yeah.
And see how quickly these young rookies that we both drafted, that everybody's excited about, But you get a true sense once they get the pads on, and we'll put the best five out there. And I know Coach Zimmer and Coach DeFilippo and Coach Sperano will find that right combination. We were able to do that last year. It didn't start out like that, but by the time we got ready for the opener, that's what we ended up with, and I think it'll go through the same process this year.
Nick Easton may not be one of the biggest names in the NFL, or, you know, specifically on a team with Riley Reiff or Pat Elflein, not as big a name as them. When he went down, what did you find you were missing?
Well, he's such an athletic kid, even, you know, and he's got the flexibility. Right now he's playing center for us and starting at center for us. But just the tenacity that he brings to the game, not only the athletic ability, but he's going to go out there and give you everything he has every snap. And maybe not the most physically imposing guy out there, but you're going to be in, you better bring your lunch pail because you're going to be in for a long day when you have to go up and play against him.
What about that Pitt rookie, Brian O'Neill? What do you think so far?
He's athletically, he's tremendous.
Yeah.
You can see the feet. I think technically, just like all these rookies, especially at the offensive line, you got to get some things cleaned up. And I know they're working extremely hard. One thing that I think really benefited us last year was Coach Zimmer had rookies stay out after practice because they may not get all the reps they need during practice because, you know, a lot of times they're running with the twos and the threes. So we have an extra period when practice is over just with the rookies, and I think that paid huge dividends for us last year, getting all those extra reps during this time.
More difficult, my line of questioning or colonoscopy prep? Come on. I'm a bulldog.
Yeah, both of them are very excruciating to get through.
I thought you were going to say, Paul, you're a bigger pain in the butt. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having us here, and enjoy the day, okay?
Thanks.
Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings, back after this.